Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a disastrous Monday. It's just the absolute worst. We're all dealing with the stock market crashing and maybe WW3. And then, all right, so here's what we have on tap for tonight. And you need to pay attention here because I got to warn you. And we're going to be all over the place, as I tend to be from time to time. We're going to open up. We're going to talk, actually. We're going to have a long talk about, it's going to pertain to the stock market stuff, but it's going to talk about patriotism, why it's necessary, why the lack thereof explains so much of what you see. We'll talk about that in a moment. If you're looking for details on the stock market, I have those coming. My friend John Carney, amazing economist who knows how to speak in ways you and I can understand. About a half hour from now, he's coming. Why did this happen? $1 trillion gone. Kind of a big deal, I would say.
It was an ugly day. Just to give you some context here, this is the worst trading day for stock markets in nearly 2 years.
I only play that because she had a wonderful accent and we all need something to feel happy about. It was a bad day. John Carney is going to explain exactly what that problem is. As you know, 1 hour from now is Medal of Honor Monday time. I figured you and me could probably use a break after what's been a long day. So you want to do a little bit of history with me an hour from now? An hour from now, we're going to do a little history leading up to the Medal of Honor. From there, we'll dive into so many things. We'll dive into Dome, as so many have. We'll talk about Biden. We're going to do email roundups. There's a chance, if I'm in a fantastic mood in a couple hours, I may even open up the phone lines. I don't know. All that and so much more is coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's dig into this mess that our leaders have made of us, of our country, of the West. Well, it's about the West, but we're going to focus on America for now. So, tell you a true story from yesterday. I'm in the kitchen. I'm messing around. I'm looking in the pantry for a snack. We have in our kitchen, our trash can is in a drawer. You ever seen those where it's in a drawer, keeps it, you know, the smell down, keeps it out. You got to open up a drawer, put stuff in the trash. Maybe you have one of those. Our trash can's in a drawer. One of my sons comes out. He's got a wrapper in his hand. What a shock. They're snacking. I turn around in time to see him open up the trash can. And instead of just dropping this wrapper in the trash can, I see him jam it down into the top and then give it another shove. And I said, whoa, hold on, because he was closing the drawer. And I walk over there and I look down, and the trash can is full. Oh, it's overflowing. And I said, son, look at this. Look at this. What do you think you should do? And he looks down at it. He knows right away he's busted. And he says, I should take the trash out and replace the bag. I said, that's right. But why? Why? Well, because you want me to be more responsible. That's correct. Yeah, that's fine. But you're doing fine there. You're improving. But why? And we ended up getting into a little talk about this. And this is before all the stock market stuff came. I didn't know it was coming. But we ended up getting in a talk about you do things like that because of what it reveals inside of you about how you think about yourself, your family, how you think about your home. You see, why do I take out the trash? When I see the trash is overflowing, why do I take out the trash? Because when I look at an overflowing trash can, I immediately think to myself, well, crap, the trash is overflowing. If I don't do it, someone else in the family is going to, or maybe the wife will be making dinner and she'll need it emptied and it won't be emptied. And plus, it's going to smell. If I don't do it, it's going to stink up the house. I feel an obligation to take the trash out when I feel like the trash, when I see the trash is overflowing. I feel like it's my duty to take it out. Why? Because I love my home. I love my family. I love my home. I appreciate them. I appreciate my home. Keeps the rain off my head. And I, because I love and appreciate it, naturally feel an obligation to it. Feel a duty to my home because I love it. When you truly, truly love something, the feeling of obligation and duty comes with it in a million different ways. Now, what's this have to do with the stock market in America and everything? Well, the truth is we are led by people who do not care about the United States of America. And that is very, very hard for a patriot like you to understand. In fact, true patriotism, real patriotism, is actually quite rare anymore. Not just in the leaders, in the people themselves. Allow me to explain. When you bring up patriotism or America or something like that, you'll generally get two different responses depending on who you're talking to. If you're speaking to a Democrat, because they're America-hating demonic savages, you'll always get eye rolls or sneers or something derogatory about America because they just genuinely hate the place. If you're a Democrat, that's how you're brought up. America sucks. It's evil. I have to burn it down. That's how Democrats think. But with your normie Republican friends, I'm not talking about you, with the norms and normas in your life, what is patriotism? Well, what do you get? Yeah, man. Look at my beer can. Look at my American flag beer cans. It's July 4th, baby. Woo! Fireworks, America. I got guns. I love America. And there's nothing wrong with beer cans. There's certainly nothing wrong with Independence Day. And there ain't a thing wrong with guns. But that's not patriotism. That's not feeling an obligation, a duty to your country. That's not service to your country. That's not a deep feeling inside of you that makes you want to make your country better. What is America to that? It's a mascot. Patriotism becomes a mascot. You roll out every single July 4th. But that's not real patriotism. Real patriotism is what you feel inside of you right now. And I want you to understand it's very, very rare what you feel inside of you right now. When you wake up in the morning and you see like what we saw today, and you see $1 trillion in wealth gone, and Japan's going down, and that's going to bleed over into us, and we're potentially looking at a big world war with Americans dying. And what do you feel inside of you? You feel heart sick, right? Don't you feel anger and frustrated and sad and sick, even if it's not for you, even if you did fine today, even if you're going to weather this storm, and we will weather this storm, I need to be clear about that, even if you're going to weather this storm or you did fine, even if you're fine, you had a moment today where you thought about the person, the old person on fixed income who just got wiped out today and they're not going to make it, and it hurt, didn't it? It hurt thinking about your fellow American citizens and what they're going through. It hurt you to know we are on the precipice of some rocky financial times and what that means for your kids and your grandkids who will come after you. And it hurt, didn't it? It made you feel something. And you know why it made you feel something? You should feel very, very proud about this because you're a patriot in the true sense of the word. You love your country. You appreciate your country. And when you see the trash can overflowing, you grab the bag, you cinch it up, and you take it out to the garage. And here's the problem. We are not led by people who felt anything today. Patriotism is not a cliche. It's not a mascot you roll out on Independence Day. It is the essential element for any country, large or small, powerful or weak. If you have a nation full of people who love it and appreciate it, and if you're led by people who love and appreciate your country, you will weather the storms and you will weather the trials, because the trials will come. And if you are led by people who don't care about it at all, it doesn't matter how good the times are, you will eventually fall. And we here in the United States of America have a severe patriotism problem, top to bottom, and that is what we must dig into. And we're going to dig into this a lot more in just a moment. The patriotism problem, how we can fix it. Remember, I have John Carney coming up 15 minutes from now, explain this stock market stuff. Before I do that, obviously you know about the news. The news over there with Iran, Israel. Iran is informing Israel through proxies in Hungary. They're attacking. They intend to attack. This is how things are done. And this doesn't look like right now what it was last time. Couple rockets, couple people got hurt, no big deal. And Iran goes back to doing what they do. This looks like it might be significant. Possibly Russia's involvement. Remember to say a prayer. And remember, IFCJ, International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they're over there building bunkers as we speak. Providing bulletproof ambulances as we speak, body armor as we speak, food as we speak, medical care, firefighting equipment. And boy, sadly, are these things going to be needed even more shortly? Yes, they are. They're looking for 500 people to donate $150. Go and do it. Support ifcj.org. If you can, go do it. Or call them 888-488-IFCJ. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Of course, Medal of Honor Monday. We're going to do a little history around that coming up about 45 minutes from now. John Carney, the economist, breaking down in more detail the stock thing from today, the market, what happened. He's coming up about 10 minutes from now in case you're just joining us. We're talking about patriotism and how it leads to so much of this stuff. So let me just explain it in a more specific way. Why would we even bring this up on a day like today? Well, we can sit and talk about the market, and we will with John Carney, and that'll help us understand what happened today. But what happened today happened for the same reason they've opened up the border and allowed 30, 40 illegals to flood into your country, rape your women, take your jobs, and destroy your healthcare system. What happened today is happening for the exact same reason they send billions and billions and billions and billions of your dollars over to pay the pension of corrupt Ukrainian government employees while you can't afford eggs. What happened today happened for the same reason they would shut down your school, shut down your business. Of course, the liquor stores can stay open, and if you want to joint and buy some weed somewhere, you can go do that. But don't think about opening your little small mom-and-pop breakfast shop. You'll get shut down immediately. They'll send the SWAT team after you. You see, what happens over time, as you get further and further away from the founding of your country, it gets harder and harder and harder to maintain a population and a leadership that has a genuine love for that country. No different than, you know of any family businesses that have gone under eventually? Dad starts it, works his fingers to the bone, blood, sweat, tears, 80 hours a week. Finally, if he's lucky, not all of them work, but finally, if he's lucky and blessed, makes it go, it takes off. Dad raises his son and or daughter to be part of that family business. They learned the business working with Dad. They saw Dad go through the hardship. Eventually, Dad hands it to them. They take it over. Maybe don't do quite as well as Dad, but still do really well. There's an appreciation there. Son has a son, a daughter. They're not raised in a single family home. They're raised in a mansion when they're not at their vacation property in Nantucket. Son, daughter that takes over next doesn't quite love it as much, doesn't quite need it as much. Why do I need to be here? I was just in Barbados. You get far enough down the line on the family business, you will come to a child who destroys it. Same thing happens with countries. The exact same thing. How in the world could Republicans and Democrats get together in a lame duck session of Congress? The GOP had just won back the House in the midterms. We had just won back the House. And in that 2-month period of time between when we won back the House and when we got sworn in, that's considered a lame duck session of Congress. A lame duck session is very rarely a busy session. And it's just out of a sense of obligation, decorum. You don't pass anything in a lame duck session. It would be wrong. We just lost the House. You wait. Mitch McConnell joined with Democrats and passed a $1 trillion omnibus spending bill that was a gigantic handout to all their government friends with your money. How could they do that? How could Chuck Schumer do that? How could Joe Biden sign that? How could Mitch McConnell do that? How could they do that to me? I can't afford bread. Mitch McConnell doesn't ever think about America. Chuck Schumer doesn't think about America. These are things you think about. That never occurs to these people. How could Democrats, and they have to own this one all the way, how could Democrats pass a $1 trillion bill that does nothing about inflation? It's a $1 trillion green handout bill that hands out gobs and gobs of your money to all their, quote, green energy communist friends in the business world who turn around and donate that money back to their campaigns. They passed a $1 trillion bill that did nothing for you, nothing for energy, nothing for inflation, nothing for anything. It was a $1 trillion check where you got nothing and their political allies got a trillion of your money. How could every single Democrat sign on to that and nobody stepped up and said, wait, this is wrong. How could that be? They don't ever think about America. And now here we are facing financial ruin. And it goes way beyond money. American women are being raped and murdered repeatedly by illegals. Raped and murdered. Young girls, grown women, freaking sickens me. Attacked by these barbarians. Always getting in some horrific DUI car crash, wiping out families. And the people who run the government opened up the border on purpose. James Lankford and Mitch McConnell tried to ensure the border stayed open with a bill like 15 minutes ago. Joe Biden rescinded all the Trump rules, opened up the border. Every Democrat wants it open. Republican after Republican in leadership, not all of them, but the ones in leadership bent over backwards, and in James Lankford's case, forwards, to make sure the border stayed open at all times. How could they do such a thing? Don't they have a heart? Don't they think of, they don't think about America. They don't think about America. America never occurs to them. I have actually asked several United States senators in person. I have asked them, do none of your colleagues know what is coming financially if you keep spending all this money? It's black and white. It's not Democrat or Republican. Do they not know? And to a man and to a woman, some of them are women, they have told me, oh, they know. They don't care. They don't care. We don't have a financial problem. We don't have a border problem, a foreign aid problem. We have a patriotism problem. And from that comes every other problem. That's our problem. All right. We're going to talk to John Carney, the economist, next. He puts this in terms we can understand. What did happen today? Is it done? It kind of leveled off at the end. Is it going to get worse? Let's ask John about it next.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Do not forget, you can email the show if you want, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, that's enough of the kind of 30,000-foot view stuff. I want to know what exactly is going on with the economy. Are we going to wake up tomorrow in bread lines? I don't know, but I bet John does. Joining me now, my friend, he's, of course, the big cheese economic guy with Breitbart, always breaks his stuff down so I can understand it, John Carney. John, the floor is yours. What happened today?
So we had a massive sell-off that was really a continuation of the sell-off we saw on Friday, which began because people realized the economy is doing a lot worse than people thought. We're a lot more economically fragile than we looked just a couple months ago. This came out because the jobs numbers came in very bad, 114,000 jobs compared to 180 expected. The unemployment rate went up to 4.3%. Those aren't objectively bad numbers. 4.3% is not a terrible unemployment rate. The point is the direction things are going in. The unemployment rate almost never stays the same. It's always going down or up. And so the direction of going up and going up pretty rapidly makes people worry that we may be headed for a recession, or perhaps, although I don't think we are, but perhaps we may already be in a recession.
Okay, let's focus on that part of it because I have a couple other things. Unemployment, you mentioned that number is not bad. I thought the same thing when it came out. Now it's easy for me to say I'm employed. If you're unemployed, it seems bad, but in and of itself, that's not a bad number. Foreign change, no big deal. But if it's, what is a big deal is what I'm trying to ask. If the next one comes out and it's six, or is it batten down the hatches time? What's a big deal?
Yeah, well, so what the thing that really matters is the speed and the direction. So even though the number is low, it's because we started from a very low base, but we've gone from a 3.8 to a 4.3 in a pretty rapid amount of time. And so when you can see that employment is deteriorating, unemployment rising rapidly, even though it hasn't gotten to the emergency stage, you can say, whoa, why is it, you know, it's a little bit like if you're in a car and suddenly it's accelerating and there's a wall ahead of you, right? Like you're like, why are we accelerating right now? We should be slowing down. This is part of the problem. When you're accelerating in unemployment, that means that there is a building problem happening. And Claudia Sahm, who's a liberal economist, but she did a lot of studies on this. They call it the Sahm rule, where if the three-month average of unemployment is a half a percentage point higher than the lowest three-month average you've had over the last year, then you are usually in a recession. You've been in a recession every time that's happened since 1948. And we triggered that. We are now at the level where historically, when unemployment does this, we're in a recession. Now, because it is so low, I would say we're probably not in a recession right now, but it is a warning sign that we have to get ready for something bad happening. And frankly, I think that's what the stock market, what's behind the sell-off, a big part of it is people saying, oh, wow, we are actually, you know, verging on a recession. I think a lot of people got used to ignoring recession signs because, frankly, we've had so many of them over the past 2 years that they're like, okay, maybe it's not coming. But when they saw this one, that's when they got worried.
John, what's the Magnificent Seven? People keep referencing that today when it comes to the economy. I keep thinking about that wonderful movie. I don't understand. What is this?
Yeah, so this is just a collection of some of the biggest tech stocks. And people, they really have been driving the, you know, stocks, the stock market. They've been the leaders of the stock market. So the Mag 7 is Google, Alphabet, Meta, Tesla, NVIDIA has been the big one. So the Amazon.
Microsoft.
Microsoft. Yeah, so these big, you know, big tech companies, they really did really well over the last 2 years. They haven't been doing very well during the sell-off. NVIDIA shares fell 6% today. Yeah, but what to put this in a little context, the stock market, the S&P 500 was up 13 or 14% going into the sell-off on Friday. So even though we are down, we're still up by 10% for the year. So the stock market is not doing terribly. We weren't going to keep going up. I mean, you know, you don't really go up in the stock market 20% year after year. You go up around 8%. So anytime you're doing better than 8%, you have to think either it's going to go down or it's going to go up very slowly in the future. So we were kind of overdue for this. I do think there's a political angle that you'll really like to this, though.
Oh, please give it to me. Again, we're speaking with John Carney, economist, Breitbart. Go. What is it?
So one of the big things that's happened in the past 2 weeks, the stock market did really well in the second half of June and for most of July. It did well, particularly because I think because Donald Trump was rising in the polls. He was way ahead of Joe Biden. He was going to crush Joe Biden. He was up by 3 points in the popular vote. If a Republican wins by 3 points in the popular vote, it is going to be a landslide in the Electoral College. That's changed. Joe Biden dropped out because he was a terrible candidate, and they pulled him out, subbed in Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is ahead in some of the polls. Some of the prediction markets have her ahead. Some of the, you know, the election models have her actually winning. And I think that spooked people, partly because they thought we were going to have a relief. The other problem is Kamala Harris has given no interviews since she became the presumptive nominee. No major, you know, where is she on 60 Minutes or even CNN or, you know, put her on MSNBC. She hasn't been on anything. She's, if you look at her website, we have an article about this at Breitbart. There is no policies on her website. So she is, and by the way, whenever you bring up a past policy she supported, her campaign advisors say, oh, no. Ban fracking? She doesn't believe in that anymore. Abolish ICE? No, we're not doing that anymore. Defund the police? No. That was back a long time ago, 4 years ago. So what is Kamala Harris's policies? Nobody can say. And that's also really scary for the stock market because people want to know what they can feel like they can invest in. Are we going to ban fracking? That's a big investment decision for people. If we are, then that's a problem if you own stocks that need fracking to do well. And if we're not going to, you'd like to know that too. The uncertainty, I think, is adding to the stock market sell-off we've been seeing.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you something, and I understand you don't have a crystal ball. You know a lot about this stuff, but I want to know, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this. Are we going to wake up tomorrow to a repeat of this? And then the next day and the next day? Or do you think this was, okay, we had a rough Monday and maybe things won't go back to the way they were, but rough Monday, let's move on. Life goes on. Are we in the beginning of something crappy, John, or was this a one day, it kind of hurt, and then we move on?
I don't think it's a one-day hurt, but I do think we will bounce back. We had a big sell-off on Friday, a big sell-off on Monday. I think that what you'll start to see is a little bit – there was a bit of panic in the market today. I think you'll see a bit of a bounce, but nothing that's going to make up for what we sold off the last 2 days. So we so it went down. It'll go back up again. But I think there will be a problem between now and election day, or at least now until the polls become clear. If Donald Trump takes the lead, I think stock market might start to do well again. But as long as Kamala Harris, as long as it's basically a toss-up, I think that the stock market is going to have a lot of trouble recovering back to where it was and has a decent chance of ending the year lower than it is right now, which is not great if you're an investor.
Yeah, okay. John Carney, Breitbart, go read his stuff. My brother, thank you. We all needed that little dose of sanity. Appreciate you very much. All right. Speaking of Dome, they're hiding her. We all know why they're hiding her. But man, alive, you thought you knew? We got a little audio clip. You're really going to find out why they're hiding her next.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. 10 minutes from a little bit of history and then a Medal of Honor Monday citation attached to that history. I hope we're not 10 minutes away from Iran attacking Israel because who knows what that's going to kick off. But man alive, either way, don't go anywhere. Everything's happening right now. And I think maybe the history story I tell, my intention is to have it be kind of helpful if you've had a rough day. So just hang on for that. Even though it's actually horrifically violent, I think it might be helpful. So let's make fun of Dome for a minute, do a couple emails, and then we'll go do that, shall we? They're hiding her. John Carney just talked about it. Headline from Newsweek, Kamala Harris hasn't met the press in weeks. Republicans have noticed. She's not doing press conferences. She's the Democrat nominee for president, and she's not talking to the media? Why? Well, I want you to listen to this. I'm not the most technologically capable human being on the planet, as you well know. Everyone makes fun of me for that. Jewish producer Chris and Michael kind of have to handle all the tech stuff around here. But if I was asked to explain the cloud, this is how I wouldn't answer.
So you're now no longer are you necessarily keeping those private files in some file cabinet that's locked in the basement of the house. It's on your laptop, and it's then therefore up here in this cloud that exists above us, right? It's no longer.
Sorry, I should stop. I'm gonna play it again. I need to stop. So I need to just explain something. The cloud. Your data, all the data, all these internet people were stealing from you and me at all times, it is actually stored in physical locations. Physical locations. You should see, go look, go do an internet search for a data farm or a data storage center. They look like gigantic Amazon distribution centers if you've ever driven by one of those. They're enormous buildings. Because I don't know if Dome knows this, but there's not actually a physical cloud above us where they're storing it. It's a place where they store it. Anyway, this is the woman who might be the next president.
So you're now no longer are you necessarily keeping those private files in some file cabinet that's locked in the basement of the house. It's on your laptop, and it's then therefore up here in this cloud that exists above us, right? It's no longer in a physical place.
I can't. It's just, so I'm going to say the most painfully obvious thing. I know this is not some kind of amazing revelation, but she doesn't know anything. Now, I've never met a person, man or woman, that age who knows nothing. It is like It is. She's seriously like a 12-year-old. But even that's not fair, because I know some really, really sharp 12-year-olds. My youngest son is 13. He knows everything. But she's like a child. She doesn't know anything about anything. And these are the people who lead the West. And look, back to what I was talking about a lack of patriotism. Biden, headline, Biden is dumping billions into these green plans before he bails. Before Joe Biden leaves, just taking billions and billions and billions of your money and dumping it into all the climate commie garbage. They just never even think about you. And again, we are not going to exempt the GOP from this. There are a lot of Republicans today who vote for omnibus bill after omnibus bill, $1 trillion bill after $1 trillion bill, and then they came out today and said, it's all this Joe Biden spending. Look at this Biden-Harris inflation. I would check your own voting record on that, pal. Dear Maximus Shogun, I was just listening to your Thursday podcast. I heard you rip into men for the transgender nonsense in the Olympics. Jesse, men didn't do this. Men have forgotten how to say no to women, but women voted for this. Women wanted it. Women demanded it. It first came at the expense of countless boys, and no one spoke up. And now what women voted for is visiting consequences on them. Suddenly we care? Question mark. Okay, I understand what you said. And what you said is not inaccurate. I'm not going to blast away at you at all. He finishes off this email, goes on a little bit, and he says, they voted for this. I understand that. But no matter who did what, I, as a man, still have an obligation, no matter what, to protect women. To protect women. If I'm driving my car in L.A., I'm driving to L.A., wife's with me, and let's say we get in a big old blowout fight. We don't do that anymore, but let's say we get in a big old blowout fight. I want to get something delicious like Arby's for lunch, and she wants to go somewhere healthy to get a salad, and we get a big old knockdown, drag-out fight about the whole thing, and we're in a bad neighborhood, let's say, and she says, let me out. Let me out of the car. I want to walk. I might let her out. I'm certainly not going to trap her in there. I don't want to get busted for kidnapping after all. But I'm not going to take off. I'm not going to leave her in the bad neighborhood. Is it her fault she's out of the car? Yep. Is it 100% on her? You bet it is. I still have an obligation as a man to protect her, even if it means from her own choices, from her own emotional decisions. It is the weakness of men that has led to the downfall of the West. We allowed this sick spirit to take over this place now, and now you can't even watch the freaking Olympics without getting bludgeoned in the face by demonic tranny
field. Why are you gay?
That's the fault of men. Men have to do better. Did women make this call? You bet they did. They were a huge part of it, a major part of it. The beating heart of Western communism is the liberal white woman. I've said it a million times. Men should have stopped them and still should. Now, if you're not ready for that, not the end of the world. Just means you haven't got your T levels up yet. Means you need to give the boys at Chalk a call. You see, Chalk is out there raising T levels without sticking a needle in your arm. Chalk is out there with natural herbal supplements making people's lives better in a million different ways. It's not just male vitality stacks that jack your T levels up or female vitality stacks. I got this one. Hey, Jesse, don't want to burst your male listeners' bubble, but they also have men who answer the phone at Chalk as well. Called the other day and a dude answered the phone. Don't know if he was a dime or not, but they might be a little surprised when a deep voice answers the phone and not the kind they were hoping for. Thanks for turning me on to them. Chalk lit powder is the best. Her name is Heather. So, ladies, there's even some dudes who will answer. There are some dimes who will answer. Call them. Text them. Find out the natural herbal supplement that can make your life better. They're standing by. 50-CHALK, that's C-H-O-Q, 3000. 50-CHALK-3000. get a subscription, save a bunch of money, just tell them I told you to call, okay? All right. I don't know about you. I need a break. There's bad jobs reporting, bad market, and bad this and bad that. You want to do a little bit of history with me? We'll do a little history leading up to Medal of Honor Monday. Sound like a plan? Hang on.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.